Canto 11, chapter 22, text 26.
Shri Uddhava Vacha, Prakriti Purushaschaubhau, Yadyapi Atma Vilakshanau, Anyonyapasrayat Krishna, Drishyate na vidhatayo. Shri Uddhava Vacha.
Shri Uddhava said.
Prakriti.
Nature.
Purusha.
The enjoyer or living entity.
Cha.
And.
Ubhau.
Both.
Yadi api.
Although.
Atma,
constitutionally,
Vilakshano,
distinct,
Anyonya,
mutual,
Apashrayat,
because of shelter,
Krishna,
O Lord Krishna,
Drishyatena,
it does not appear,
Bhida,
any difference,
Tayo,
between them,
Prakritau,
within nature,
Lakshyate,
is apparently seen,
he,
indeed,
Atma,
the soul,
Prakriti,
nature,
Cha,
and,
Tatha,
also,
Atmani,
in the soul.
Translation.
Caught you there.
Translation.
Shri Uddhava inquired,
although nature and the living entity are constitutionally distinct,
O Lord Krishna, there appears to be no difference between them,
because they are found residing within one another.
Thus, the soul appears to be within nature and nature within the soul.
Sri Uddhava inquired, although nature and the living entity are constitutionally distinct, O Lord Krishna, there appears to be no difference between them because they are found residing within one another. Thus, the soul appears to be within nature and nature within the soul.
Purport.
Sri Uddhava here expresses the doubt that arises in the heart of an ordinary conditioned soul. Although the Vedic scriptures declare that the material body is a temporary fabrication of the material modes of nature, the conscious living entity within the body is actually an eternal spirit soul. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has declared the material elements constituting the body to be his separated inferior energy, whereas the living entity is the superior conscious energy of the Lord. Still, in conditioned life, the material body and conditioned soul appear inseparable and thus non-different. Because the living entity enters the womb of a mother and gradually comes out in a developed body, the soul appears to have entered deeply within material nature. Similarly, by the soul's identification with the material body, the body appears to enter deeply within the consciousness of the soul. What is more, the body cannot exist without the presence of the soul. By this apparent mutual dependence, the difference between the body and soul is obscured. Sri Uddhava therefore questions the Lord in order to clarify this issue.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale
Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripa Tammaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. Shri Uddhava inquired, although nature and the living entity are constitutionally distinct, O Lord Krishna, there appears to be no difference between them, because they are found residing within one another. Thus, the soul appears to be within nature, and nature appears to be within the soul. So, this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is titled, Elements of Material Creation, and it's a fairly elaborate and technical section from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I was actually struggling, what do I speak in this chapter, because all of us sitting in this room already know we are not the body, we are the soul. So what's new to be spoken about? But then I fortunately landed up making some notes from one of the lectures of His Holiness Danavir Goswami Maharaj. So, whatever that I have put together is some perspectives that Maharaj is giving on this topic. So, essentially, in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are five key messages which are given. The first message that Lord Krishna is trying to communicate to Uddhava is that matter originates from universal spirit. Because the scientist thinks that matter comes from matter. So Lord is saying that no, matter is coming from universal spirit. That's number one. It also communicates the message that the minute spirit soul also originates from the same universal spirit as matter originates from. So both matter as well as minute spirit soul originates from universal spirit. That's number two. The third message that this section is giving is that there is a simultaneous oneness and difference of the minute spirit with the universal spirit, which is Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. So, that's the third. Which means that the soul, which is all of us, the minute soul, which are jivas, are qualitatively one with the Lord, but not quantitatively one with the Lord. So it just doesn't mean that if we are qualitatively one with the Lord, then we are God. Just like the drops of water taken from a Pacific Ocean in a test tube is Pacific Ocean qualitatively, but is not Pacific Ocean because you can't drown inside that. So just like that, this is the difference, qualitative oneness of the soul with the universal spirit and the fact that the soul is still not God. That's the third message. The fourth message is that this matter within this material world also undergoes various transformations. So much of this section deals about transformations of one type of matter into another type of matter, and there are various philosophers who are giving different ideas of how this transformation happens. And Lord Krishna is also saying that all of them could also be correct. And the fifth, this is the most important message that is given here. It says, knowing the goal of the human form of life, one need not waste time in over-analyzing all this.
and one should simply surrender to the universal spirit, knowing him to be the primeval cause of all causes. So we have to reject all these paralysis of analysis, so called, and just surrender to the supreme spirit. So if that is the message, then why is it so important to understand the difference between body and soul? Now this is not only important for a neophyte devotee, okay, because sometimes we think, oh, another lecture on body and soul, I know all that, right? After a few years in Krishna consciousness, tell me something new about it now. So it's not only relevant for neophyte devotees, but it's got relevance at every particular life cycle stage of being a devotee. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayorita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayad Ahetukam. Which means that by performing devotional service, automatically we get this knowledge that we are not the body, we are the soul. Just by performing devotional service, automatically it comes. And this knowledge comes, and the concomitant detachment also comes along with this knowledge, just by simply performing devotional service. But as much as we say that this knowledge comes automatically with devotional service, the nature of a neophyte devotee is because he has, his faith is very shaky in nature. If you tell somebody, you chant and everything will be revealed to you, he says, no, first you tell me some philosophy and convince me that first I have to take the bead bag and then chant the holy name. That's how the neophyte devotee's mentality is. Because in Kali Yuga, simplicity of heart is lost. Because we have very complex degrees in our educational qualification. We have gone to very complex universities. We have studied complex subjects. So everything in our mind is very complex. So a simple message like take the bead bag and chant the holy name also cannot be accepted, because it's too simple a process to go back to Godhead. Therefore, one needs a lot of philosophy. So people need to be told about the entire science of the body and soul. Then they agree, oh, there is some metaphysics also behind this chanting, and now maybe I will accept this process. So a neophyte devotee, and for that matter any devotee, almost most of us started in a neophyte stage. Some of us like me are still in that stage. But most of us travel through this journey of starting with ignorance. We don't know who we are. And when we are ignorant of who we are, at that time this knowledge of body and soul comes very handy. So from ignorance we move to this knowledge. As we understand the difference between body and soul, this knowledge gradually develops faith in us. As we gradually develop faith, then we engage in devotional service. And as we engage in devotional service, then this knowledge further increases and turns into realization. As we enter the mode of realization, then gradually detachment starts developing with realizations. Detachment from this material world. And then automatically, if we continue devotional service in the mood of that detachment, then love for Godhead develops. So this is a typical journey. From ignorance to knowledge to faith to devotional service to realization to detachment to love. So this is a complete journey. In fact, yesterday we were in Bendigo by the grace of Manoj Prabhu, who is our internet blogger. I'm talking about that Manoj Prabhu. Because of his mercy, he has inspired so many grihasthas in Bendigo to seek out Krishna consciousness. So he was requesting me last week, can you go and kickstart a Bhakti Vriksha program in Bendigo area? And with the help of some of my Bhakti Vriksha members, then we went there yesterday. There were a lot of Indian families in Bendigo, at least some 25 people were there. And when we finished the first session of Science of Self-Realization, actually the zeroth session, the aim of SSR and then the usual, the questions which will be answered in this forum, then one of the ladies, she asked me a question. Because I told them, she told me, what do I do to attain happiness? Okay, how do I know what is real happiness? I told her, you'll have to come for the seminar regularly. Then you'll understand what is real happiness. But she said, how long is this seminar? I said, yeah, maybe 15-20 sessions of Science of Self-Realization followed by 2 years of Bhakti Vriksha program. So she said that she was a bit concerned, and she asked me, can I not start getting this happiness immediately? She asked. I said, yes. But if I tell you the answer, you will not agree. Okay. But I told her anyway the answer. I told everyone that if all of you can simply accept chanting of the holy names of the Lord, then we don't need any seminars. We'll still need because the faith is shaky, but the results will start manifesting immediately. Just like if somebody has cancer and and then somebody is dying and the doctor comes and says, take this medicine, your cancer will get cured. Okay. So obviously, if I'm having cancer, if I'm eager to cure my cancer, then what will we do? We'll take the medicine. If I'm convinced I'm going to die because of cancer, I'll immediately take the medicine. But if I'm not convinced, then what I'll go back to the doctor and say that, yes, I'll take this medicine, but can you please explain to me how much sulfur content and phosphorus content is there inside this medicine? You convince me that. Then doctor will say, okay, 0.5 phosphorus, 3% sulfur, whatever. And then I'll ask further questions. Okay, why 0.5 phosphorus? Why not 0.75% of phosphorus in this medicine? And so on and so forth, death comes. Right? So therefore, if one is simple hearted, accepts the message of Krishna consciousness and can start chanting right from the first day, knowing very well that by this chanting, gradually the jnana will also come. So let me start chanting, let me put my faith in the chanting process, and then let me also hear philosophy, then the process starts working immediately. However, if one waits till the very end, then one is delaying his progress towards the spiritual world to that extent. So sometimes it becomes very essential, especially for neophyte devotees who still will not pick up the bead bag, to tell them about the metaphysics of bhakti yoga. And, once we were doing a session on does God exist and who is God? So, yesterday also we got the same question. We should be able to see something. Sarva karana karanam. We people have this mentality. We should be able to see something. If God exists, we should be able to see Him and so on and so forth. And how do we know that, He is the cause of all causes? So sometimes we put this question back to the people who are asking this question. Okay, you tell me then, which came first? Did the chicken come first or the egg came first? So people say, egg came from chicken, then that chicken came from egg, that egg came from another chicken, and then we have to convince them that way, that if you go back like that, something has to be first, and that first is Krishna. And then they accept that whoever that person is, at zeroth reference point, that person you can understand as God, who created both the chicken as well as the egg first. And sometimes, in this way we have to convince people about the existence of God. The whole concept of God has to be given through these simple examples and through a metaphysical explanation of things. And that is where the understanding of body and soul comes. So even if we know about the subject matter as devotees, still for the purpose of preaching, we must understand this science and this metaphysics. So then we can serve Srila Prabhupada and bring more and more devotees in Krishna consciousness. So in this section, as we said before, material creation and its various transformations are being discussed. And the methodology or the approach that is followed to understand the subject matter of God here is called as Sankhya Yoga. So whatever we are going to discuss today is nothing but Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga is the analytical explanation of Bhagavad Gita. And this Sankhya Yoga was explained by Lord Kapila, who was the incarnation of God himself, to his mother Devahuti. And Srila Prabhupada, at the end of that section, makes a very interesting comment. Srila Prabhupada writes, anyone who understands the basic principle of Sankhya philosophy is elevated in devotional service and becomes fully Krishna conscious or liberated even within this material world. So if we understand this metaphysics, Srila Prabhupada is promising us in his purport that simply by understanding Sankhya Yoga, this metaphysics, we can become Jivan Mukta. We can be liberated even though we are in this material body, because we will have a clear understanding that we are not this body. So we don't have to go out of this body to attain liberation. And Prabhupada also writes that by constantly hearing this section, the difference between body and soul and the fact that we are not matter, we are spirit soul, then the knots of attachment to matter is cut by the sword of knowledge. So Prabhupada uses the word Hridaya Granti Abhedanam. So this is the glory of Sankhya Yoga.
Understanding of the material transformations, Prabhupada says, also enables us not to fall trap to cheaters or bogus gurus. Because sometimes when we ask people, who is God? When we do the session on science of self-revelation, sometimes we do a brainstorming session. We give an exercise to people. Okay, who is God according to you? Have two groups and present. So people come up with various theories. And you have to explain why that person is God. So some people say, just because somebody is able to, draw vibhuti, ashes from his hand, or a golden Rolex wristwatch from here, and then place it, then that person is God, because he is able to do so many magical tricks. But by truly understanding this Sankhya Yoga philosophy, we can understand that conversion of matter from one form to another form is still part of the material energy only. It is nothing spiritual about it. People who have Ashtasiddhis or the eightfold mystic perfections of yoga can do these kind of tricks. But because we don't understand that matter can be converted into matter by other processes other than what we see in the factories, we think that that person is doing something which is paranormal, therefore he must be God. So therefore understanding the metaphysics of Sankhya Yoga is also important in that we don't get cheated by bogus gurus who claim to be God. Another reason Srila Prabhupada was asked, why do we need to understand this Sankhya Yoga? Why this body, soul, all these things are relevant? Why can't I directly go to the gopis' pastimes? I always want to go to 10th canto and see how Lord Krishna danced with the gopis in the rasa pastime. So why all this body, soul, all these things are required? So Srila Prabhupada said, it is very important at the very early stages of Krishna consciousness to understand the difference between matter and spirit. It's very important to understand this difference between matter and spirit, and Srimad Bhagavatam has to be studied in a particular sequence. The sequence is that Srimad Bhagavatam has to be studied from first canto with a gradual progression to the 10th canto where the confidential pastimes of the Lord are revealed. Unless we understand that Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes, he is the supreme controller, he is the supreme proprietor, unless we understand these three things, that millions of universes come out of the pores of his body, unless we develop a healthy reverence for the Lord, we cannot develop love for the Lord. So love always starts with reverence to the Lord. That's why Srila Rupa Goswami said that Raganuga Bhakti, Raganuga process should always be preceded by Vaidhi Bhakti or Vaidhi Sadhana Marga. Okay? If we cannot do our Vaidhi Sadhana Marga properly, then there is no way that we can develop spontaneous attraction for the Lord. So Bhakti should always start with reverence for the Lord, and then that reverence will actually culminate in love, if we are following the Vaidhi Sadhana Mark perfectly. So for all these reasons, it is still important to understand this metaphysics or Sankhya Yoga in any stage of life cycle of a devotee. So, it is mentioned that the Sankhya Yoga explanation says that at the end of the day, Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the effulgence which comes out of his body is called as Brahman, right? Brahma Jyoti. Now it is mentioned in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is also elaborated in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that in the spiritual world everything is Brahman, right? And in one corner of the spiritual sky there is a dark cloud, and this dark cloud is called as Pradhan. Murli Prabhu, your favorite subject. So one corner of the spiritual sky is a dark cloud called as Pradhan. This Pradhan is called as unmanifest matter. This is matter. Okay? Just like, in one of the previous sessions we said that what is the difference between idli batter and idli? The only difference, one is idli, and another is also idli, but it has not manifested as idli as yet, because you haven't taken the batter and done something to it so that it comes out as idli, which is edible. So this Pradhana, if you say, is like that idli mix, right? it is matter which is unmanifest in the form that we understand matter. Okay? And this pradhan is in one corner of the spiritual sky where everywhere there is Brahman. And it is said that this pradhan is the most subtle form of matter. Also, it is explained that Brahman, when it is mixed with the three modes of material nature, that is called as this pradhan, or it is also called as Saguna Brahman. This is from His Grace Gurujan Prabhu's Unveiling the Lotus Feet. He writes this commentary. So, this is where that idli batter is, the original primordial cosmic substance. Now, this substance eventually transforms into various elements of matter. How does that happen? It is mentioned, it does not automatically happen. Just like an idli batter automatically does not become idli. Somebody has to take it from somewhere, subject it to some process, cook it in some pressure cooker, and then it will become idli. Just like that, this pradhana does not automatically manifest into the gross and subtle material elements. It requires the glance of the Lord. So it is mentioned in the first canto that this matter, which is in its inactive state, is activated by the glance of Mahavishnu. When Mahavishnu glances at that matter, then that matter becomes activated, and then that matter becomes known as Mahat Tattva. So pradhan, by the glance of Mahavishnu, becomes Mahat Tattva. And this Mahat Tattva then becomes the source of all material elements. So, much of these sections deal with transformations of matter from one form to another, starting with pradhan and Mahat Tattva. So, we have to understand here that without the glance of the Lord, no matter whatever potency this pradhan may have, it is still dead matter. And therefore, the conclusion here is that it is the Lord who is the life-giving element to matter also. In fact, it is mentioned that when the Lord, after the Lord glances at this particular pradhan and it becomes Mahat Tattva, there is an elaborate explanation given that how, because of the interaction of the three modes of material nature, under the influence of time, now all these are energies of the Lord, mode of passion, mode of ignorance, mode of goodness in their subtle form, with the interaction of time along with Mahat Tattva, creates all the elements of matter that we know today. Like for example, we all know that our body is made up of 5 gross elements and 3 subtle elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, and the 3 subtle elements are mind, intelligence and false ego. So all this is manifesting from that pradhan which became Mahat Tattva by the glance of the Lord, and then the interaction of three modes of material nature with the false ego under the influence of time manifests all these things. So the explanation is given that when false ego under the influence of time mixes with the mode of goodness, then it creates the mind and the transformations of the mind, and it also creates the demigods. When the same false ego interacts with the mode of passion, then that creates intelligence and also the active and knowledge acquiring senses. The same false ego, when it now interacts with the mode of ignorance, then it produces sound, ether and the senses of perceiving sound. It may sound too technical, but as I said, we can apply the fifth principle. We don't have to know all these things. We can simply chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But still it is important to know this, because sometimes some physicist may be sitting in our Bhakti Vriksha program. So he has to be explained this. And it is mentioned that the false ego, as I said, when it interacts with the mode of ignorance, produces this sound, ether and senses of perceiving sound. And then it is mentioned that it is from this ether that other elements come, like air, form, fire, earth, and also the sense of touch, the eye through which we see, then fire, water, earth. The entire gross body is now coming from this ether. So the whole understanding is that
gross matter comes from subtle matter, subtle matter comes from Mahatattva or Pradhan, and Pradhan comes from Krishna. So, in this material world, though we may used to be seeing matter transforming from one form to the other, if we go back and back and back and back to reference point zero, we will find that ultimately behind all this is Lord Krishna. In fact, it is mentioned that once all these ingredients are kept ready by Lord and this Mahatattva is already agitated, after that, then the Lord breathes out and he forms millions of universes come out of the pores of his body. And inside each of these universes, this Mahatattva is present. And then the Lord himself enters each of these universes inside the egg-shaped universes in the form of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, which most of you already know. And from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, then who comes? Brahma appears from there. And Brahma is only involved in converting this Pradhan, Mahatattva and all these elements which come out of that. He is only involved in allocating these material elements to the spirit soul in the form of various bodies. And that is called as a secondary creation. So, there is a primary creation called as Sarga, there is a secondary creation called as Visarga. The primary creation has already been done by the Supreme Personality of the Lord. Brahma is only doing the secondary creation. He is just taking, for example, it may be, again going back to the idli example, he is only taking the idli batter and then converting it into idlis, that's all. But the batter was originally provided by Lord Krishna. Since we do not know this, we have always lived with this concept that Brahma is God because Brahma is the creator. But what we did not know all these years is Brahma is only the secondary creator and not the primary creator. So the Lord enters each of these universes as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Not only that, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu then expands into Sirodakshaya Vishnu. And Sirodakshaya Vishnu has got two features. One is he enters into spirit, which is you and I, as super soul, but he also enters into matter. And because Sirodakshaya Vishnu enters into matter, that's how matter gets the energy that it needs to transform itself into matter of other types. Let me give you a simple example. We have always studied that everything can be broken down into the atom. And in the atom we have the nucleus and then protons and electrons. Now, throughout all our school and university, we have studied that electrons rotate around the nucleus. But what we never questioned is, where does the electron get its power to rotate around the nucleus? Nobody is able to explain that answer. As much as people say that by the power of gravity, all the planets are kept in orbit. But nobody is asking, but where did gravity come from? Right? So if we go back, then we understand that it is through the power of Sirodakshaya Vishnu that this power is given to matter. Which means, God is behind every creation. And we have to understand that. Now because we don't understand that, many times imposters can come in and they can cheat us. So in these sections it is mentioned that there are 24 elements. Some philosophers say there are only 24 elements of matter. And how does these 24 elements come? We have the 5 working senses, 5 knowledge acquiring senses, 5 types of gross body, 3 types of subtle body, and then the 5 types of sense objects. All this add to 23. And then it is mentioned that the 24th element is time or kala. Again, in different section of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that the 24th element is polluted consciousness. But regardless of that, sometimes philosophers only restrict to these 24 elements. But what they don't understand is, all these 24 elements are dependent on the 25th and 26th element, which is more powerful than these 24 elements, which is the super soul as well as the universal spirit or Paramatma. So therefore, a complete explanation of Sankhya philosophy should include super soul and Paramatma. That is the difference, Srila Prabhupada said, between the imposter Kapila and the real Kapila. The imposter Kapila ended his explanation at 24 elements, whereas the real Kapila Muni, who is the son of Devahuti, he added these two elements and then clarified as to where
these 24 elements come from. Even in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7.4, the Lord mentions an interesting verse which says, Bhumir apo nalo vayu kham mano buddhi revacha ahankara iti yamme bhinna prakritir astada. Which means, there are these eight material elements comprising my separated energies. So in this verse, Lord is talking about the material elements. Bhumi, apo, nalo, vayu is talking about earth, water, fire, air, ether, all these elements. And in the next verse, which is Bhagavad Gita 7.5, the Lord says, however, higher than all this is my superior energy. There is a superior energy which is not part of this inferior energy, which is called as the para prakriti. So, the inferior energy is called as the apara prakriti and the superior energy is called as the para prakriti. And it is mentioned that the difference between matter and spirit is that matter is avyakta as well as vyakta. At the end of every cosmic cycle, the material energy is withdrawn and it becomes totally unmanifest. But the spirit soul is always eternal. So we have to understand this difference, that matter is perishable whereas spirit soul is always eternal. And even if you see the flow of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is explaining so much of philosophy to Arjuna right from first chapter to the end of the 18th chapter. But if you see in the beginning of second chapter itself, instead of talking about directly coming to the subject matter of Bhakti Yoga, the Lord starts with all this Dehinosmin Yatha Dehe Na Jayate Mrayate Va Kadachin, all these verses. So the Lord is also giving us an indication that this is the way to study the subject matter of spirituality, by first understanding the metaphysics, then going on to the application that comes out of this metaphysical understanding. Otherwise, our spiritual life will always hover around sentimentalism. Now, the modern day scientists, they do not have access to Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita. So, they spend millions and millions of dollars trying to analyze how matter originated. Recently, in The Age, we studied in the newspapers that somebody was mentioning that some scientists have finally cracked the original substance. But I actually thought that that was already cracked 300 years back. Right? And they say that, you know, there is a small infinite particle and scientists have now been able to find out that that is the origin of the entire universe. So, Srila Prabhupada was very heavy and Srila Prabhupada on these kind of philosophies, the Big Bang theory and, you know, the void theory and the fact that lives come from matter. So, Srila Prabhupada said, I am not a scientist, but because I am hearing from the greatest scientist, that is Lord Krishna, and because I am hearing from Lord Brahma, because I am hearing from Lord Kapila, therefore we can challenge all these people, because all these scientists are simply bluffing. This is what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada asked, how did they analyze millions of light year distance? They say this is 500 light years away, 1000 light years away. Prabhupada said, who said that? How did you know that it is millions of light years away? And Prabhupada used to say that this year they say 100, next year they will say 120 light years away. And Prabhupada said that this is their means of continuing their research and extracting taxes from the common man so that the universities can continue running and provide employment to so many people. So, Danveer Goswami Maharaj, he said that once he was in Hayden Planetarium. Now, Hayden Planetarium is the world's largest planetarium and it is in New York. So, he said that when he went for the show, the whole room became dark and then suddenly there was a huge shaking sound, right? And from there, then they said that the universe has now come. So, everything was dark and then stars started appearing and there was a big bang which was happening inside. It was all sound effect which they created. So, after the seminar, Maharaj came out and some people were talking to him that yes, now we understand that, you know, everything comes from that void, from that small particle. So, Maharaj said that these people do not know, when I talked to them and they came, when they said that something, everything came out of void, the first question I asked them, if something has to come out of void, that means that something must be inside that void. That means that cannot be void in the first place. Do you accept that? They said, and people were, they started thinking. I mean, right? So Maharaj said, these people cannot prove anything scientifically. Okay. But there are a lot of similarities between what they say and what we say. If they say that the entire universe came from a small particle, we also say that yes, it came from something very small. And that small is a small cowherd boy who is called as Krishna, who plays his flute in Vrindavan. So we both agree. You also say small, we also say that everything came from small. And then they ask, how can millions of universes fit inside your Krishna? And then we ask a question back, how can they fit inside your small void then? And then when they answer, that is inconceivable to us, we also say it is inconceivable to us. But when they ask evidence from us, we open the Shastras and show them. This is where it is said. But when we ask evidence from that, they get upset with us. So this is a conversation which Dhanvir Goswami Maharaj was having in that hidden planetarium. It was very interesting. So we take evidence from that personality who existed even before material creation. And in the third canto, in the Chatushloki of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first verse of the Chatushloki, I think it is text 33 from the 9th chapter, it says, Aham evasam evagre nanyad yad sat asat param paschad aham eva etaccha yo vashishyeta so asmi aham. Where the Lord says, I am that personality who was existing even before all these universes and matter came into picture, and I am the same personality who will continue to exist despite the fact that all these matters do not exist. So we are hearing directly from that source which is imperishable. So there is no speculation. And to counter this bogus scientific culture, Srila Prabhupada instructed his devotees to establish the Vedic planetarium. And that is why so much of work is going around today in Mayapur with millions of dollars of investment. So when Prabhupada gave this order, so many of his disciples took it to their heart and started building this Vedic planetarium. Now, as a part of building the Vedic planetarium, ISKCON decided to consult various experts in this field. So they went to South India and they met various devotees and pandits who were experts in Vedic cosmology, right? Rather than, you know, the mundane science that we know of today. So when they went and when they approached these, you know, pandits in Vedic cosmology, saying that, can you please help us? We are going to build us a Vedic planetarium. Can you help us with, you know, some kind of thought leadership or how to do this job? So the question that they asked is, what is your plan? How do you plan to present this Vedic planetarium? This is the Vedic cosmologists ask these questions. What is your plan? How do you plan to present this planetarium? Are you planning to present it according to the Vedic version? If so, we are okay to help you. If not, then we are not going to help you if you are going to make a compromise with material science. So this is the answer they give. And then when the devotees convince them, no, we want to go by the Vedic literature and it is the order of Srila Prabhupada, then they said that, okay, we will readily accept. Obviously, because Srila Prabhupada, they knew, was a pure devotee of the Lord. So Vedic cosmology, unlike the modern science, has withstood the test of time. So we have to understand and study this Sankhya philosophy, understand this metaphysics, and when we understand this, we can go ahead boldly and fearlessly and preach to the outside world with complete conviction that what we are talking is not some mundane sentiment for a cowherd boy, but it is backed up by a systematic science of origin from spirit and transformation into matter. So this entire section of Srimad Bhagavatam is dealing with this subject matter. And there are four main conclusions that we need to understand. One is that neither matter nor the intricate functions of the body cause consciousness. Consciousness is only aroused by the presence of the super soul. Life comes from life and not from matter. Life comes from Krishna, Supreme Personality of God. Message one. Message two is Brahma is not the primary creator. He is only the secondary creator. Number three, because of the desire to enjoy separately from the Lord, this spirit soul, which is qualitatively one with the Lord, came in contact with the three modes of material nature, and because of this contact, it has lost its true identity, which is what Uddhava is saying, that I am not able to know, the soul appears to be within the nature and nature within the soul. Everything is complicated. This is because of the false identity that we were subject to this confusion. And number four is the solution, that this can be awakened, or true constitutional position can be awakened by alluding or taking shelter of the same super soul as Chaitya Guru, which will point us to a spiritual master who will engage in us in devotional service. So the entire purpose of Sankhya Yoga is to lead us to the feet of our spiritual master. So though it may sound metaphysical in its nature, the purpose is not some mundane paralysis of analysis of scientific facts. It is basically for the jiva to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And that shelter, the first symptom of the shelter, the major most symptom of that shelter is chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, the purpose of Sankhya Yoga ultimately is to lead the jiva to come to the platform of chanting.